And I just want to know, it's completely free. Just enjoy being here. Oh, wow. And it made a bit of a connection because I just remembered her face and her little boy. And I kept seeing her in the story, hearing about the story of the tomb. I saw them as they were in and around all of the activities. And at one point, I was just sitting in the lounge, just having a bit of a rest. And then I saw this same lady over the other side just playing with some of the stickle bricks. It wasn't that, the big Lego stuff with her son. And we try not to put too much stuff on the table because it all ends up on the floor. But Andrea just put some information about the reflection. And from the other side of the room, I just watched her pick it up and read it. I'm going to put it down, but then continue to read it. And then, I don't think she was trying to steal it, but just hook around, fold it up and put it in her bag. I thought, oh. And it was just a little outline as to what Easter was and how we can reflect on him. And this lady, who'd never heard of the bridge before, who'd come, sits there and just reads this little reflection. And something in those three or four sentences just meant something to her that she just folded it up and put it in her bag. Lord, I don't know how long it could stay in that lady's bag. It may be many years, Father, but she just might find it on this one day, in this one point. I just loved it. Right, we've got the slides on. Great. This morning, we're going to be baking. If any of you follow or have seen the Lees family on Facebook, we had the Lees family bake-off, and we had the three boys and the three girls, and it was no contest. You know, we won hands down. The kitchen lost, yeah, but we won. We all like icing, yeah, at least I do. And whenever there's a big cake that is for everybody in the church, I always make sure I get a corner bit. Because otherwise, all you get is this column of sponge and this little square, you know, so I always make sure. And we all like icing. Jesus has risen from the dead and we no longer sin. That's the icing. That is so good. But actually, I want to start with some cake. And then the children, and then in the second half, I'm two halves, in the second half of my talk, you won't be able to tell how long I am then, yeah, we're going to start to move out into the marzipan, and then the children are going to come, and they're going to sing an incredible song. And that's going to be the icing on the cake, so we're going to bake. And I want you to realize, and I know you will, but sometimes we're so intensely listening and enjoying what's going on, we can sometimes forget to tell our faces. Like every now and again, when I do a really, really good point, you can say amen. So, the children, they're going to be nervous. They're going to be excited. They're in big church. They're with their church family. And church, I hope you don't mind me asking, as a dad of four and as a father of the house, let's let our faces know. Let's communicate how much we're enjoying them with our faces. And if you want to clap, we're a radical church, and you can clap. But do you get it? Yeah, I'm so excited. Right, so what has the gospel done for us? We're going to start with the cake. Okay, number one, Jesus died for us. Jesus paid the price of sin on our behalf. As I was preparing this, I've got this massive book by Moo. It's recently come out on the study of the book of Romans in the New International Version, and it's so big, I'm never going to read it all. I spent a lot of time in the Word. We're going to spend time in Romans, probably 5, 6, and a little bit of 7, and I listened to a couple of really good talks that you may have heard. If not, I would encourage you. Bill Hybels on substitutionary atonement. It's not as scary as it sounds. And it's some really good stuff. And also Chris Vallotton on re-looking at the redemption story. So if you want to go off and listen to those, do. But Jesus paid the price for our sin. So where did sin come from? Romans 5. Most of this morning will be out of the NLT. It's just easier when you're reading it out. But you know me, I love the New King James. Romans 5, 18 to 19 says, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a righteous relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because of one person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Now, whether we like it or not, what Adam did had a profound and lasting impact upon us all. It changed our spiritual DNA. Our spirit gave birth to the sin nature. And every single body, from the moment that they were born, had been formed in the womb with a defect. And it's called sin. And there is a sin nature within us. And no matter how unfair you may feel that would be, we haven't done anything. We have that sin nature that needs to be paid for. That needs to be paid for. Adam had sinned against God. And whatever we think of that, it set in motion a principle that meant every person from that point on was born with the sin nature within them. And it needed to be paid for. Just as Adam needed to pay for his sin, there was a payment due for everyone who is ever born, even if they had not committed the actual sin. Am I on 14? Yes, look at this. Romans 5:14. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did, even though they didn't do any of those things. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who is yet to come. There was a debt that is needed to be paid. So let me make it real for you, okay? Let me make it real. Who am I going to pick on? Alex. Alex is always really annoying me. He's always telling me, I go on and on and on and on. And then he says, how many times are you going to say, yeah? I'm keeping a score. And one day, it just really, really annoys me. And I decided, I'm going to get him. I'm going to take him out. So, you know, because I'm a secret black belt, one night as he's coming from his favourite place that he frequents, I catch him on the way home and I duff him in. Yeah, and I really get him. I'll show you how long I'm speaking. This is just a story. If you're a visitor, it didn't really happen. Okay? And I get him and he's just gone and they rush him off to hospital. And because Alex is a top cop, yeah, all his cop friends get on the scene and they investigate and they detect and they get me. They find out it's me and they bring me before the judge. And I'm there before the judge and Alex is in the hospital. I'll never say you go on long, Ben, I promise. And the judge sees I'm sorry. And the judge sees that I really didn't mean to do it. It's just a moment of madness and goes, do you know what? Do you know what? I'm just going to let you off. How many of us know that's mercy? I got what I didn't deserve. But you see, then Rachel stands up and goes, hang on a minute. Have you seen Alex? He used to be handsome. Have you not seen him? There is a punishment that's got to be paid. And the whole room is going, oh, yeah. Hang on, yes. Hang on. And then you see, because my mom couldn't make it, my auntie, who's here. Hello, Auntie Irene. My auntie steps up and says, oh, hold on. I've known Ben since he was born. He had lovely white blonde hair and big blue eyes. He's such a lovely, good, good boy. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? I tell you what, I will take the punishment. Oh, Auntie Irene, you are incredible. And the judge goes, Irene Newnham. Irene, you're wanted as well. You're on my list as well. So no matter how lovely that was, you can't pay for what Ben did. And the whole room's going, oh yeah, they're going to get Ben. And then the judge turns to Rachel and goes, Rachel, you're on death row as well. So you've got no cause to actually start telling what should happen to Ben. Then Jesus, or the judge's son, stands up and says, I'll take the punishment for Ben. I'll take the punishment for Ben's Auntie Irene. I'll take the punishment for Rachel. And the judge looks at the son and says, you have no sin. You can pay. You can pay for the crime. It's called substitution atonement. In simple terms, Jesus was substituted for the crimes, the sins you committed, and atoned for them. He paid for them. He paid for them. So do you know what has happened? If you do something wrong and Christ lets you off, then that is mercy. but it's not justice. See, I picked on Alex because Alex is hot on justice. That's why he's a cop. And the stuff he does is incredible. And he wants to see justice be had. He lives by it. Some of the scriptures, love justice, love mercy, and something else. He lives by it. So that's why I picked on him. You see, if Christ just lets me off, it's mercy, but what about justice? So Christ has a challenge because he wants to release mercy, but he has to satisfy justice. So Christ steps up and offers to pay for our sins. Christ, who does not have the sin nature, can pay for them. Justice is satisfied so Christ can now release mercy and not be a crooked judge. See, if the Father just lets me off for duffing Alex up, then actually that's not justice. That's crooked. That's twisted. That's, I'll give you a backhander judge and you'll let me off. But Christ satisfies the justice issue. It's satisfied. It's done. The debt is paid. Amen? That's an amen point. Don't worry, I bought my own encouragement. Amen, Ben. That's a good point. Not very often, but sometimes I listen to myself and I come in going, oh, that was a good sermon. Andrea once in the home group was repeating me. I'm going, yes, amen, amen, that's good. But Christ goes further than mercy. Mercy equals you sinned, but you can come in anyway. You did not get what you deserved. Grace equals you sinned, and I will pay the price so you can come in. You got what you didn't deserve. Christ paid the price. It's grace. It's grace. So what have we got in there? Jesus paid for our sins. Jesus died for us. Jesus paid for our sins. Jesus settled the justice issue. Now, Jesus is the gospel. So the gospel died for us. The gospel paid for our sins. The gospel settled the justice issue. Romans, yes, look at this. Romans 5:16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right, justified with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Amen? Amen? Amen. Just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. If you are feeling guilty of past sins, then you need to forgive yourself because it has been forgiven and you have been justified. And sin no longer holds sway of you. And if you are under that weight, get it off. And it is as simple as that. I am going to choose to live justified. I'm going to choose to live right before God. And the weight of sin falls off. Amen? Okay. Where did God do this slant? Okay, so Jesus justified us. He died for us, paid the sin, settled justice issue, and he died for us. When did God do this? While we were still sinners. Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we had nothing to give. I'm skipping because it's good news. We had nothing to give. Nothing that we could give God, and he chose to die for us when we were sinners. Jesus died for us when we had nothing to give him back in return. Why? Christ wanted to show us that we couldn't buy the gospel. We can't buy it. There's not enough that we can do. It's not about what we do, but it is about how we live. And by Christ doing it while we were sinners, you can't buy this. Because you got nothing I want. You got nothing I want. You can't buy it. There was nothing he wanted from us. There is never enough we can do to earn the gospel. He made it the free gift. The free gift. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. How much? You can't buy it. How much? You can't buy it. We all want to know how much. We all want to know how much. So what do I have to do? Is this enough? Is this enough? You can't buy it. It doesn't stop there. Not only is the gift free, not only do we experience that sense of never having sinned, all the guilt and shame is now gone. There is no guilt and shame. It's gone. It's really is freedom in Christ. as we started to turn towards God and understand him more, we feel more sinful. The law would highlight our sin. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful we were. I think, I know I do a bit wrong. I then start to look at God and realize, oh my goodness, I do a lot wrong. I do loads wrong. That's why the law was weak. All he could do was show us how sinful we were. And Jesus, by dying on the cross, by becoming the gospel, removes that. Removes that weight. Let me read it from here. Oh, I'm turn page. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ gave us this wonderful gift called grace. It's a wonderful gift called grace. Do you know what is incredible? As a follower of Jesus, when we slip up, which is different to practicing sin, God's grace gets just that little bit bigger. It covers what we did. Imagine, before we accepted Christ in our lives, we knew we'd done something wrong. We knew it. We get to that point where I know my life is wrong. Do you know there isn't a religion in the world that recognizes there isn't something wrong with the world, something broken with the world, and we need a savior? They express it in different ways, but every religion will look and say there's something wrong in our world and to try and declare they have the answer. Do you know, I believe there isn't a single person who, if just for 1 minute, would let the music fade, that loud, fast-paced, busy, full life that is always looking for that one more thing that will make me happy, if they just stopped, they'd sense the need of a Saviour in their life. Do you know why? We have the breath of God within us. We are his creation. And the enemy keeps us busy, noisy, quick. And if actually every single person stopped when the music fades, Christ's voice is heard. People that do and start to understand God and read the Bible sometimes feel worse because the law confirms what they had hoped was not true. They are a sinner and there really is nothing they can do to make it right. Then Jesus comes along and takes it all away. All the weight of what they realized was wrong, all the guilt and the shame of it. You mean Jesus, all that is gone? All that is paid for? Why would you do that? What can I do? Jesus, I'm so grateful. Jesus, I feel light. I feel like I can dance. I can skip. I'm free, Jesus. I'm free. Do you know what? I felt the weight and it's gone. Jesus, what can I do? Jesus responds, just follow me. Where are you going? Does it matter? People ask, how long are you going to be gone for? I don't know. He didn't say. And every time you slip, every time sin just gets you, grace covers it. Let's take communion. Andrea, remember what you did. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm always drawn to your prayer in the garden. Lord Jesus, and in written form it goes so quick, Lord, but you really didn't want to do this. Take this cup from me. But what was more important to you was what the Father wanted. Lord, I am so grateful for what you did. Father, you died for me. You paid for my sins. Justice is met. Father, I can now walk as though I have never sinned. Father, and all I had to do was stretch out my hands and receive it. And Lord, even now, Father God, when times I get caught out, Lord, your grace extends that little bit further. So Lord, this morning, we remember your body that was broken for us. And your blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's good sometimes not to have anything going on in the background. Don't get me wrong, like playing a song. I'm all for doing stuff like that and creating an atmosphere, but when we need it to enter in, then there's something that's not quite right. But we're so not used to it, sometimes we have to work when there's just nothing going on. And equally, taking communion doesn't have to be a somber thing. You know, that was a meal, but we shouldn't cheapen what we're doing and why we're doing it. It's not for now, but that's what Paul is addressing in Corinthians. And on Good Friday, the Lees family took communion together. It didn't quite go as I got planned in my little head. Never do stuff with children and animals, you know. But there was just this moment where now even down to little Amelia has an understanding of what she's doing. And that's important. That's important. Okay. Have we remembered to click play? Record? Wonderful. Where are we? Just as if I never sinned. Let's take communion. Okay. So we left with the fact that grace is just that little bit more bigger. The more sin I trip up and do, the bigger that grace does. Now, if you're going to read Romans, you really need to read it in one setting. Take you about an hour. Takes me two. Yeah. But you've got to read it in one setting. Don't go too deep. Just read it and then go back. But the danger is we read, especially the first eight chapters, a chapter at a time. Paul is in a flow here. It's not quite systematic theology because we don't cover everything. But certainly 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. But yeah, you've really got to read in one block to get where Paul is going. And Paul has just done such an incredible job of talking about the truth of faith. He's not just made it up. He's really laid out. Grace is just incredible. It takes away the guilt. It takes away the shame. It takes away the weight. It's wonderful. He goes, it's like, right, read it back. And he's hearing what he's written. He's going, flipping heck, hang on. Hang on. People, if we're not careful, can use these truths for ill. And I'm surprised how many subjects are in the Bible that we dare not talk about, not because they're not true, because we're worried how people will use them. There's lots of examples which we won't go into now, but it's just a bugbear. We're not speaking truth because we're worried how people will use it. This is what Paul had got. He thought, gosh, I've just given people license to sin. Because the more they sin, the more grace is covered in, and grace is good. Paul here has a problem. He's just explained grace so well, he's concerned that people will use it as a reason to carry on sinning. This is out of the New King James. Oh, I had to do it just once. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism in death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I put the NLT up there, haven't I? I have, but I read from the New King James. Was that confusing? Let's do it again. This is the NLT. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Amen? How often have we taken this wonderful freedom Christ has given us, the weight of sin that has lifted the feeling, the freedom we have, and somehow found a way back to sin? We didn't feel bad about it anymore, and our flesh remembers that we quite liked some of the sins we did. And then the enemy whispers in our ear, you've been good for ever so long. You really have. It won't matter. Remember, God cannot love you anymore and will not love you anymore. And he whispers. And Paul says, gosh, how is it the way you've been saved from sin can go back to it? And here's another error. We make it then lists. Oh my goodness, it's not a list about what we should or shouldn't do. It's, oh my goodness, Lord, look what you've done. How? I just want more of you. I have a cooked breakfast every morning. Can you tell? Then I have a tiny lunch and then, yeah. And Claire would often have conversations about how I left the kitchen. Do you know what? As our relationship has strengthened, it's now not about, I better leave the kitchen normal so Claire doesn't moan. The last thing was the mushroom residue on the chopping board. So I'm deadly serious. It's not a task. I actually get quite excited how well I'm going to leave the kitchen. Because there's always, in the night, we put the dishwasher on, and there's always a couple of cups and plates that never made it in. It's like, you know, because we've got kids, they have them all over the house. We've set the dishwasher going, oh, flipping it, look at that. I clean up. I mean, don't make this about me. My point is, I do ever so well, I tell her. No, I'm ruining the point. Actually, it feels really good to leave the kitchen really well. Not because I get goodie points, but actually because it's what Claire wants. And it's what Claire then likes to come down to. And I want to do that. It's not a task. Sometimes it's a task. But my point is, I like doing it. I like doing it. And I get excited, especially when I've come to church early, before she's up. And she's going to come down and go, oh, wow, this is great. Not for brownie points, because I love her. And that's actually how Paul was expecting us to receive grace. Oh, my goodness. I just want to be closer to him. What can I do, Lord? Just follow me. Oh, whatever. But somehow, the whisperer, he whispers those lies. And remember, I quite like that. And the guilt's gone, you see. I don't feel bad for doing it now. So I pick it up again. Paul says, we can't do that. Here's the incredible thing, though. This morning, I want to show you how Christ has given us the power to no longer sin. That's an amen. Christ has given us the power to no longer sin. How? Christ didn't die for us only. He also died as us. Christ died as us. When Jesus died on the cross, we were united with him so that when Christ died, I died with him. It's Romans 6. Romans 6 to 8. And since we died with Christ, we know we should also live with him. Since we died with Christ. Christ didn't just die for us, he died as us. So Ben was on the cross. Not for everyone else. I was there. I died with Christ. Jesus died for me. And as me on the cross. My old man is now dead. The spirit man is dead. Sin has no power over me. Why? Because I am dead. You are dead. Dead, dead, dead. Exclamation mark. Dead. Romans says that Christ has died and we have died 44 times. Dead, 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 and more. You're dead. Do you know why? Because dead men can't sin. Dead men can't sin. Dead men can't sin. You are dead. Jesus hung on the cross, sinless. Jesus became sin. God then destroyed Jesus. God destroyed sin in the flesh. So Jesus actually physically becomes my sin. Your sin on the cross in flesh. Then God destroys Jesus. And he destroys sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am now the righteousness. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's the great exchange. It's beauty for ashes. It's I had nothing to give all other than this rubbish. And Christ says, I'm taking it. And he took it upon himself. And he died at Ben Lee's. Ben Lee's is dead. And the new man has risen. Jesus rose from the dead and gave us power over sin. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us the gift of grace. Jesus died as me. Is that the next slide? Yes. No, we'll do that in a bit. Jesus rose from the dead and gave me power over sin. I've not got this scripture of Ephesians 2:6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're actually in two places. I don't know how it works. It's multitasking. Yeah, I've heard some people can do that well. Yeah, but we are not only here on earth, but we are also seated with him in heavenly places. Again, Romans 6:8. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. If we died with him, we are also raised with him. Not the old man. I am born again. How can a man go back into his womb? It's the spirit man has died. It had to happen. We talk about a seed. You gardeners will tell us how a seed has to die so it can spring forth new life. We had to die. Part of getting born again is dying. Baptism is a prophetic act that when you come out of the tank, you're alive. You see, if you see it as a symbolic act only, you come out only wet. But it's a prophetic act. You went in with the cross, you come up with the crown. Amen? Come on in, children. You are early, though. Hallelujah. We have a crown. I'm on the last page, but we are early. Wahey. It is not my nature to sin. Do you know what? It is no longer your nature to sin. You don't have it. It's not that I do not sin, but it is not my nature to allow sin to have dominion over me. Okay, let's just go quick. 1 John. Actually, her question, the wages of sin are? Okay, now we have a problem because 1 John says there are sins leading to death. Cool, that works. And sins not leading to death. Hang on, the wages of sin is? But there are sins not leading to death. 1 John also talks about, and you've got to get to the New American Standard Version or and then back to the AV. It says, he who practices sin. It talks about not practicing sin, but practicing righteousness. What are sins that lead to death? When you practice and cultivate and grow sin in your life. And I believe when you do that, you're in danger of losing your salvation. Because that was what Christ won. Christ won dominion and power. And he holds the keys up and he gives it to us. And then how can we let sin have dominion over ourselves? That's not our tripped up. That sin's not leading to death. That's not, oh my goodness, have you seen Ben's shirt? That's sinful. But you put it right. It's like, oh gosh, I can't think that way. Or you linger on a man too long or a woman too long. Or you get drunk or you swear. And you realize they're not small things. You can make those have dominion over you, but you trip up. And you're, oh my goodness, Lord, I just missed it today. Will you forgive me? Let me pick a big one. You actually had sex before you were married and you tripped up and you were, my goodness, God, I'm sorry. It was a moment of weakness. Those are sins that are not leading to death. Those are sins not leading to death. But to say you've still got the sin nature within you, my goodness, that's to devalue what Jesus did on the cross. To say that Jesus did all of that on the cross and then didn't change my nature. You are not a sinner saved by grace. I was brought up by that and we liked it. Kind of worked. But what it says is my nature hasn't changed. You are no longer a sinner. Amen? You should be free from that. And the trouble is, just like we subliminally say to our teenagers, you're going to go bad. You're going to go off the rails. You're going to try all sorts of stuff. It's like we give them permission. We've given ourselves permission. We know we still sin. You have no need to have sin have dominion over your life. There's no need. You have everything that Christ has done. Jesus overcame death and Jesus put my sinful body to death. Jesus gave me power over sin. Grace has two outworkings. This is the wonderful thing, grace. One, it covers my sin. Two, it gives us the power to overcome sin and beat it in our lives. And the moment you say, I'm not doing that, grace steps in and covers it. And he gives you the ability to. Is it still hard? Sometimes we want God to sprinkle his magic God dust and take away the love of sinning. I struggle with that, actually, John Wesley song. I don't think Christ does that personally. The more I get into Christ, the more relationship I have with Christ. I don't want to sin, but it's my choice not to sin. You have the choice, and we make bad choices. We don't have to. We don't have to. Where are we? So, Jesus is not dead. Amen. Jesus is not dead. He's overcome sin. He's overcome death. So we will now never sin. No, we will now never die. We will never die. We have the gift of eternal life. And Jesus is living. We are risen with him. And Jesus is living within us. He lives inside of us, roaring like a lion. Roaring like a lion. What has the gospel done for me? The gospel died for me, paid for my sins, settled justice, justified me, made me as though I'd never sin, made it free, gave me grace, took away shame, died as me, overcame death, and Jesus put my sinful body to death, and Jesus gave me power over sin. Okay, yeah. So we're going to read it together. Let's do the brackets as well, okay? So, Jesus died for us. Jesus paid for our sins. Jesus settled the justice issue. Jesus justified us. Jesus made the gift free. Jesus gave us the gift of grace, which took away shame. Jesus died as me. Jesus overcame death. And Jesus put my sinful body to death. Jesus gave me power over sin. Amen? 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 Children, oh, I'm going backwards. Children, come on in and give us that icing on the cake.